Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Dalid. We're holding on daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. You're about 10 lines from the end of the page on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at Visavar Rabbi Yehuda. Many sponsors today. Today's show is sponsored first by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also, Lizchus Rufu Shlema for Meir Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. Also, by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbin in commemoration of his first yard site, Harav Baruch Tzvi Ben Reuve Nassen Zichrona Levracha. Also by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Le'ili Nishmas Mark's mother, Rebbetzin Adelaide Friedman, whose first yard site was the 5th of Av. Also by Jay and Sari Tepper and family, Le'ili Nishmas Zev Velvel Ben Yitzchak Isaac Olav HaShalom, whose yard site is today, Nisham Shem Aliyah. Also, Le'ili Nishmas Rav Yaakov Ben Rav Moshe Zev Olav HaShalom, in honor of his yard site by his granddaughter, Chaya Goldberg. With Nisham Shem Aliyah, we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and let us begin. We are holding on daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to discuss the status of the different kinds of fruits as far as the liquid that seeps from them and liquid that comes out of them, whether they're considered to be muktzah or not, whether they're considered to be asur or not on account of a chashash schita. So we're going to discuss the status of fruits that are stam. They're not meant la'ochel, they're not meant la'mashka, they are gathered just stam. You don't have any specific kavana one way or the other. Then we're going to discuss the three different categories of fruits. Those that are meant particularly always are juiced, those that are never juiced, and those that are sometimes juiced and sometimes not juiced. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about why does beet juice ruin a mikveh? If you put beet juice into a mikveh, what is it about beet juice that ruins a mikveh? Then the Gemara is going to talk about the major heter in Hilchos Schita, which is that if you squeeze the juice onto a food, that somehow that's going to be mutter, even though when you squeeze juice onto a liquid or into an empty bowl, then it's going to be usser. So we'll discuss all of that, Be'ezus Hashem. Let us begin. We are holding on Daf Kuf Mem Gimlam Beis. 10 lines from the bottom of the page, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda just said in the Braisa that if a person brings in tutim v'rimonim stam without any specific intention, then the mashka, that's yotze mehem, is asr. The liquid that seeps out of them is going to be asr. Says the Gemara, v'savar Rabbi Yehuda, stam, asr. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that stam is asr? Vatnan, but we learned with regard to milk, when is milk considered a mashka? This is a Mishnah in Masechet Machshirin, that we know that a food is only mekabel tumah if one of the Zayin Mashkim comes in contact with it in advance, the Yad Shach Adam. So one of those Mashkim is Chalav. So if Chalav is going to have to be considered a Mashke in order to be able to be Machshir lekabel tumah. So with regard to Chalav, we learned that Chalav Ha'isha Metame, that the Chalav Ha'isha, the milk of a woman, is considered a Mashke, in that it's Machshir lekabel tumah, L'ratzon v'shalol l'ratzon. Whether that milk left the woman's body with l'ratzon, she was interested in it leaving her body, or whether it came out of her body, shalol l'ratzon. Chalev behema, but milk of an animal, eino metame. And l'ratzon is only metame when it leaves the animal's body, l'ratzon. L'ratzon, of course, by a behema doesn't mean l'ratzon of the behema. The behema doesn't have a ratzon, nor would we care if it had a ratzon. The ratzon is the ratzon of the bailim of the behema. But if it just drips out of the behema, shalol l'ratzon a bailim, then the chalav is not considered a mashke, and it's not mekabel tumah if a sheretz touches it directly. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, says, kal v'chomer, he says, wait a second, chalav behema should be metame even shalol ratzon, based on the kal v'chomer from chalavisha. Umach chalavisha sheinu miyuchad el lektanim mitami l'ratzon v'shalol ratzon. Chalavisha is only meant to be eaten by ketanim, and yet it's mitami both l'ratzon and shalol ratzon. So chalav behema shemiyuchad bein lektanim bein l'gdolim, chalav behema, which has so much more usage, it's designated for use both by children and by adults, so it's more mistaver that it should be considered a mashke than chalavisha should be. So in So chalav behema should for sure be a real bona fide mashke and should be able to be metame both l'ratzon and shalol l'ratzon. So that's the challenge Rabbi Akiva has to this distinction between chalavisha and chalav behema. We'll see what this has to do with tutim v'rimonim stam soon. We haven't gotten there yet. So Amrullah, the Chum said back to Rabbi Akiva, you cannot learn the din of chalav behema from the din of chalavisha with any sort of kal v'chomer. Im time chalavisha shalol l'ratzon, you're going to be mitame chalavisha when it comes out shalol ratzon shedama gafasa tame. You know why we're mitame chalavisha when it comes out shalol ratzon? Because chalav is an outgrowth of the dam of an isha, and dam is always going to be tame. That's a gzeres hakasa, that dam that comes out from a wound is considered a mashka. The Gemara nita nun heyam and beis darshens out from a pasuk that in Bilam's brachos that the dam chalolim yishta, that dam hariga is always considered a mashka, because it's dam chalalim yishte. So mele dam chabura is also always considered a mashka, because there's no difference between mali horeg miktsaso, mali horeg kulo. If a dam that of chalalim of killing a person is considered a mashka, then dam of wounding a person is also considered a mashka. So that's why we have a gzeres hakos of the dam is a mashka, and that's why chalav isha is also a mashka automatically, because chalav isha always has a status of dam makasa, because we assume dam nechar v'nasa chalav, that the source of all chalav is of chalav isha is from her dam, somehow or another, that the dam turns into chalav. That's how the Gemara assumes why it is that a woman who's nursing doesn't become a nida, that she doesn't bleed, because the dam is nechar, the dam is affected, the dam changes, and it becomes chalav. Oh, I apologize, I didn't tell you of the change of location. Okay, my chevra that comes is here, so I'm so sorry about that. So just like dam maka is minastam, is yotzei shalol l'ratzon is machshir, so chalav isha is machshir, even if it's yotzei shalol. So Yitami Chalev Behema, would you say the same thing of Chalev Behema? Shalol L'Ratzon, Tapakuf Mem Dalet Amin Aleph. Now, Shalol L'Ratzon, you're going to say Chalev Behema, Shalol L'Ratzon, Shadam Magafasa Tahar. Can you say the same thing by Chalev Behema, that that when it comes out Shalol L'Ratzon, that where the Dama Gefa of a Behema is not considered a Mashka and is going to be Tahar? So that's why you can't compare Chalev Isha to Chalev Behema. So that's the Chacham's response back to Rabbi Akiva. You have a problem with us comparing the Chalav Behema to Chalav Isha, deriving Chalav Behema with us distinguishing between Chalav Behema and Chalav Isha, because you think that it should be a Kal V'Chomer. No, they're totally different. Chalav Isha, of course, is going to be a Mashka, regardless of your desire of it coming out, because it's an outgrowth of Dam. Chalav Behema, even if it is an outgrowth of Dam, Dam HaGeif of Behema is not a Mashka. So Amar Lahen, Rabbi Akiva said back to them that even though Dam HaGeif of a Behema is not a Mashka, but Machmer Ani B'Chalav, I still think the Chalav of a Behema should be a Mashka when it comes out of Behema, Mi B'Dam, more so than the Dam Maka, which is not a Mashka. You know why? Shacholiv L'Refua Tame, because if a person milks an animal L'Refua, meaning let's say the Chalav is hurting the animal, so he's milking the animal L'Refua, then Tame, the milk is going to be tame because it was yotzei l'ratzon. But hamek is l'refua. If a person bloodlets an animal for refua, tahar, then it's considered tahar. So you see that if you milk an animal l'refua, so the chalav is tame, so we should be metame, the chalav that drips out of an animal shalol l'ratzon as well, kal v'chomer, from chalav isha. So Amalah, the Chum said back to Rabbi Akiva, you cannot derive the halacha when you're chalav l'refua, which is done b'ratzon, and it's tame, because then learn from there that chalav that just happens to drip out of a behema shalol ratzon should also be tamei, because salei zeisim v'anavim yochichu will bring a raya, and this is where it comes home to us from baskets of olives and grapes shamashkin ayotzin mehem l'ratzon tamein shalol ratzon tahorin, that the mashka that seeps out of them l'ratzon, where you want it to seep out of them, is tamei, but that which comes out shalol ratzon is tahor. So bechalav behema also, that which comes out l'ratzon is going to be Tameh, that which comes out shalol l'ratzon is going to be tahar. So now we're going to show, that's the conversation between the Chum and Rabbi Akiva. Now we're going to show the raya from the Mishnah that you can't say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, mashka that just oozes out on Shabbos from tutim v'rimonim stam is going to be asur b'shtiyah. That we know that if it's l'shem, you wanted the juicing, so then it's going to be asur. But if you didn't want it, it's not going to be asur. But stam, we put in the category of asur. So we're challenging that right now. That stam is in the same category as wanting it lamashka. So says the Gemara, my love l'ratzon dinichale shalol l'ratzon b'stama. When we use the terms l'ratzon shalol l'ratzon, doesn't l'ratzon mean that you dafka want this mashke? And shelo l'ratzon means that you don't care, that it's stam, you didn't decide yet whether to be sochet the peros or not, whether to squeeze the fruits or just to eat the fruits, and that's where we're going to say that the mashke is going to be tahar, and therefore, uma zeisim v'anavim dibnei schitin inu. If even by olives and grapes, where generally speaking, you use olives and grapes to squeeze them, to get the oil, to get the wine, and nevertheless, when you're machnis them, stam, the mashke that comes out of them, shelo l'ratzon v'lo klum, the halach is that when it's stam, when it's shelo l'ratzon, which we're assuming means stam, that they're going to be tahar. So tutim v'rimonim t'lav b'nei schitin inu. When it comes to strawberries and pomegranates, where most of the time you're not going to squeeze them, lo kol shkein. So all the more so when you bring them in stam, the mashke that comes out of them should be tahar. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that the mashke that emerges from tutim v'rimonim stam, that you were machne stam, is going to have a din of mashke and is going to be included in the gzeira of mashkin shezavu, where you're not going to be allowed to drink it? Says the Gemara, lo. No, you're misunderstanding what the words l'ratzon and shalol l'ratzon mean. It's not correct that l'ratzon means that you wanted it and shalol l'ratzon means stam. No, l'ratzon b'stama. The word l'ratzon means stam. Shalol l'ratzon, when we say shalol l'ratzon, it means degali adaite, damar lo nichali, that a person is saying, I'm not interested in this mashka, and that's why it's not makshe l'kabel tuma. Or another answer, v'ibayaseima, shiny sale zeisim v'anavim, kiven deli ibud kaimi, meikar afkuri mafkuri luhu. Maybe when it comes to baskets of olives and grapes, where the juice that comes out from them is going to end up on the ground, because the baskets always have holes in them. They're like wicker baskets, so whatever juices come out are just going to spill through the cracks and are going to end up on the ground. So meikar afkuri mafkuri luhu. From the beginning, you're mafkir it. And therefore, l'chala deil, such juices don't have a din mashke and are not going to be machshe l'kabel tuma. But when the peros are in other types of kelim that don't have holes at the bottom, where all the juices aren't going to be lost, the mashke is going to be protected, it's going to still be there. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda holds that even by tutim v'rimonim stam, that which comes out of them has a din of a mashke. So that is part one of our daf. What is the status of tutim v'rimonim stam? Does that which oozes out of them have a din of a mashke as far as mashke shazavu? And that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yehuda holds tutim v'rimonim stam, that which comes out of them has a din of a mashke. In that, it's going to be usher to drink on Shabbos if it oozed out on Shabbos. Period. Now the Gemara goes back to what Shmuel had said, that Rabbi Yehuda is moded to the Chacham by Zeisim v'Anavim, and the Chacham are moded to Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peros. So says the Gemara, Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda demoded the Rabban by Zeisim v'Anavim. We found a brisa that Rav Nachum Yitzchak had quoted, where Rabbi Yehuda is moded to the Rabbanan with regard to Zeisim v'Anavim. But Rabbanan demoded the Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peros minalan. Where did we ever find that the Rabbanan are moded to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda when it came to Shar Peros? What's the source for that? So, Titania, we have a brisa. Sochtin bepagano beprishin beuzradin, that you're allowed to squeeze out different types of fruits to drink the juices that come out of them, since those peros are not normal to be sochet. So, the juice doesn't have a din of a mashke, it has a din of an ochel. And the halacha is that even though it's an isser of mefarek, an isser of dash, to squeeze out, to be sochet, a liquid from a food, that's if you had something that was an ochel, and you squeeze out, and what comes out is a mashke. But when what you squeeze out something that's not meant to be squeezed, even though what comes out is in liquid form, not every liquid has a din of a mashke. This is a yesod gadol. Not every liquid has a din of a mashke. Sometimes a liquid will have a din of an ochel. Nafkaminas for bracha achrona. What's the shear that you say a bracha achrona for? Is it that you eat a kezayis b'kedei achilas pras, or that you drink a revius b'kedei shtiyas revius? When is something an ochel? When is something a mashke? You eat soup. Is that a mashke or is that an ochel? So Pashtus is, that's an ochel. aye, but it's liquid. What determines ochel umashke is not whether it's a liquid or a solid. So says the Gemara over here that these juices that come out of fruits that are not meant to be juiced, and therefore these aren't drinks that you find in the drink section of the store. You don't have honeydew juice or cantaloupe juice, or so maybe now you do in like certain, probably in Trader Joe's or something like you can find. But in a normal place, you don't normally find these kinds of juices. So that which comes out of them is considered an ochel avalo barimonim. But you do not squeeze out rimonim on Shabbos because the derech is to be sochet them, and therefore since it's not because most people are sochet rimonim, but it's some people do it. Who v'shal beis Menashe bar Menachem hayu sochtin barimonim? There was a family known as the family of Menashe bar Menachem that on a weekday even they would squeeze out pomegranates. Pomegranates. So you see that even for other people who don't normally squeeze out rimonim on Shabbos, it's going to be considered a mashke. So from this brisa that allows squeezing these pagoin and prishin and uzradin lechachila, you see that even according to the Chum that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda by tutum and rimonim, nevertheless by shar peros that are not omed l'schita at all, they're moded to Rabbi Yehuda that the juice that comes out of them is not a mashke, and therefore the Rabbi were never gozer on the mashkim shazavu. And even not only they're not gozer on the whatever mashkim comes out of them, lechadchila you're allowed to squeeze them. Lechadchila you're even allowed to do it because you're squeezing a food out of another food. This is this yesod that something could be a food even if it's in liquid form is a major basis of heter for those chassidim who recite kiddush on yayin saruf on schnapps. There's a major discussion in poskim. How is that possibly mutter to take a little shot glass, these 1 ounce shot glasses, or even a 2 ounce shot glass, or even a 3 ounce shot glass, and to say kiddush and drink less than a melo lugmav? The basic halachos of kiddush is that you need to have a revius of in the coast where how you want to say grach no, you want to say less shear, a lower shear of a revius, something like that. But still, you got to have something that's somebody's shear of a revius, and then you need to drink a melo lugmav. And yet, already in hundreds of years ago, we find that some of the early Hasidish rebbes would drink from small shot glasses, and they would drink very, very little. And it's reported from the Divrei Chaim and from others, from Gedolei Olam, Tzadikim and Gedolei Olam, that they were making like this. So one of the more creative suggestions to explain it is offered by the Eretz Tzvi, the Kazhe Glover Gaon. Kazhe Glover Gaon was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin after Rav Meir Shapiro. He was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, also a Gaon Olam. So in his Tshuvas, Eretz Tzvi, the Kazhe Glover suggests that based on this idea that when it comes to certain things that are not meant to be a mashke, you don't drink them as a beverage, then they have a status of an ochel. And the shear of an ochel, the gabe bracha achrona, is not a revius, it's a kezayis. So if you have something that no one would drink when they're thirsty, such as yayin saruf, such as when you have schnapps, no one drinks schnapps because they could use a good drink, they're very thirsty or they're hot and they need to be refreshed. You drink schnapps more like an ochel. You want to get into a certain state of mind or whatever, it's a derech kavod or something like that. So it's not really a mashke, he says, it's an ochel. And if it's an ochel, the shir chashivas for bracha achrona is a kezayis, memela the shir chashivas when it comes to kiddush is going to be a kezayis as well. So that's why he suggests they have a lesser amount of the drink. Mari Rabbi Rav Shechter points out in his Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon that the problem is it's too good of an explanation. Meaning the problem is that once you turn it into an ochel, you run into another problem. In order for something to be kosher to use for kiddush, it needs to be what's called chamar medina. How do we define chamar medina? It's a huge machlokas haposkim. There may be 6 different definitions of what makes something chamar medina. What makes something a chashuv enough drink or a common enough drink or whatever it needs to be considered chamar medina. But one thing is for sure, it has to be a drink. If it's not a drink, it can't be chamar medina, no matter how common it is. So it could be that the Kazhe Glover's explanation is so good that it turns into a Michael, and therefore it has a sheer kezayis, and that's why you could have so little of it, but he loses at the very outset, meaning in order for anything to be kosher for kiddush, it first needs to be a mashke, and if you're going to consider it an ochel, then it can't possibly be Chamar Medina. But anyway, so back to our Gemara over here. So says Gemara, Mimaid Rabbanan Hi, how do I know that this brisa holds like the Chacham, this brisa that we just quoted about the squeezing of the Pagoyin and the Prishin and the Yuzradin, you know, of all these other fruits? How do I know it's following the Shita of the Chachamim? Dilma Rabbi Yehudihi, meaning you're using this brisa to prove to me that the Rabbanan are molded to Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know that the Rabbanan wrote this brisa. This brisa might only reflect the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, maybe it's following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that holds the peros that are omeda achila, that the juice that comes out of them is mutter. So ask the Gemara, v'tahavi nami Rabbi Yehuda, and even if it is Rabbi Yehuda, emer d'shamet le'ed Rabbi Yehuda, yotzu me'atzman, even if you could say that you heard that Rabbi Yehuda's mati or a mashke that comes out from a fruit when it comes out on its own, but sochten l'chachila mishamet le'ed, did you ever hear that Rabbi Yehuda's mati even to squeeze the fruits? So must be that this price is breaking new ground over here. This price is telling me not only that the liquid that comes out of the cantaloupes and the watermelons you're allowed to drink on Shabbos, but that you're allowed to squeeze a cantaloupe and a watermelon on Shabbos. And once you're saying that, once the price is breaking new ground anyway, you could even say that the price is going like the Rabbanan, since it's not, these fruits are not meant to be squeezed, so you're allowed to squeeze them even the lechachila. So because we don't find that Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda ever disagree about that, so Shema Mina Rabbanan Hi Shema Mina. So you see that the Brais is following even the sheet of the Rabbanan, and therefore, since we've proven that according to the Chachamim, lechachila you're allowed to be sochet peros that are not omed l'schita, so mele there's no reason to be gozer a gzeres mashkin shazavu on peros that are not omed l'schita. So the liquid that comes out of them are of course going to be mutter. So that's a raya to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel that the Chachamim are modet Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros. Meaning, so now we've clarified Rabbi Yehuda is modet to the Chacham when it comes to zeisim va'anavim that the mashkin shazavu are aser. The Chamer Modet Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to cantaloupes, watermelons, honeydew, whatever, that the Mashkin Shazavu are mutter. Not only Mashkin Shazavu are mutter, you even allowed to squeeze it. The whole basis of Machlokas, the whole case of Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is Tutim V'rimonim, fruits that are sometimes squeezed and sometimes not. So now the Gemara just picks up on like a side point. We had mentioned in the Braisa that Shalbeis Menashe Bar Menachem Hayusochtin V'rimonim, that the Beis Menashe Bar Menachem used to squeeze pomegranates. So we said, oh, you see, it's normal to squeeze pomegranates because this family squeezed pomegranates. So I'm Rav Nachman Alacha Kishal Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. And Rav Nachman comments now, and we paskin like that family. So says Gemara, Amrle Rav Nachman, Menashe Bar Menachem Tanu, is Menashe Bar Menachem a Tana that said that it's Aser? Meaning Menashe Bar Menachem didn't paskin Alacha. All we said about Menashe Bar Menachem is that they were a family who enjoyed to drink pomegranate juice. What do you mean we paskin like Menashe, that it's delicious? What does that mean that we paskin that they enjoy drinking pomegranate juice? Maybe you're going to tell me that the halachas like the Tana that drew support from Menashe Bar Menachem by showing that pomegranate juice, that pomegranates are things that are sometimes squeezed because haraya, look, Menashe Bar Menachem squeezes pomegranate juice, and that's why you're not allowed to squeeze out pomegranates on Shabbos. So umishum desavar k'Menashe Bar Menachem halacha k'moso. What? Because there is one Meshuggah family that decides to take fruits that no one else juices, and they juice these fruits. So now the halacha is going to change, and we're going to say that these are fruits that are normally juiced. Menashe Bar Menachem have ruba d'alma. Are they the majority of the world that you're going to be koveya based on the behaviors of one family that rimonim are fruits that are normally juiced? It's a minug of one family. How can you be tola halacha for all of Klal Yisrael based on the quirks of one family, based on a strange family recipe or something of one family? So it says we're in. Now the minhag of one makom can in fact be koveya what's considered normal. How do I know that? Titnan, because there's a mission that discusses the issue of kilei akerem, and it tells us that a makayim kotsim bakerem. If a person but dafka leaves kotsim growing in a kerem and he doesn't uproot them, he doesn't pull them out, Rabbi Eliezer Omer kidesh, the whole kerem becomes aser and the kotsim become aser ba'ana because it's kilei akerem. You're leaving them there on purpose. It's a foreign min that's growing together with the vines, growing together with the grapes, and that's going to make it kilei akerim. V'cham romeinu mekadesh el davar shekamo mekaymin. V'cham say no, you can only be mekadesh something that's normal to have growing in a kerem that people would be normally happy with, like vegetables or something like that, that someone would not normally uproot because it's something that they're interested in eating. My time with Rabbi Lezer, why does Rabbi Lezer think that kotzim could be kilei akerem? Who in their right mind leaves kotzim growing in a kerem? They leave thorns growing in a kerem? Yeah, shekein ba'aravya mekaymin kotzim sadus l'gmaleihem, because they do it in Aravya. They have camels in Aravya, and therefore they need these kotzim to feed the camels. So you see from Rabbi Chanina that the minhag of what people do in Aravya is enough to be koveya what's considered normal as far as kilei akerem is concerned, and therefore by us as well. You want to figure out what's considered a normal fruit to juice. Menashe bar Menachem, one family could determine what's considered normal and what's not considered normal. Now Tosos points out over here that the Gemara could just be docha the raya, that the whole raya is from Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that Rabbi Eliezer held that since there was one, since people in Aravya think that this is normal, memela becomes normal. But we could just as easily bring a raya lehepich from the sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said that kotzim in the kerem is not kilei akerem. You know why? Because it's not normal. In Aravya they do it. I don't care what they do in Aravya. What one family does or one place does is not koveya what's normal. So it is strange that the Gemara doesn't use that as the rejection. You bring me a raya from Shittas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Shamutayu. We never paskel like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer from the Talmid of Beishamai, or he's put in Cherem, however you understand Shamutayu. Why don't you bring a raya lehepik from the Shittas of the Chachamim? But anyway, the Gemara is a different Tachiyah. But Tosus points out that Lechora should have been the best Tachiyah of this raya. But anyway, the Gemara is docha differently. The Gemara says, Midi Iria, da Aravya Asra, Hacha Batl Daita Yitzel Kaladam. You can't compare a minog of an entire place like Aravya to be koveya, you know, where we're going to say that since that's what they do in that location, it's normal, to a minhag of a single family that happens to squeeze out pomegranates, and that's not going to determine that squeezing pomegranates are normal. But even more than that, the Ritva points out, why were they mekayim kotzim bekerem in Aravya? Not because they were strange, not because they had different tastes, not because they were different, because they happened to have a lot of camels. And you know what? If anyone had a lot of camels, they would also be mekayim kotzim in the kerem. So it is normal. It's normal for anyone in their circumstance. So that's going to be considered normal if it's normal for anyone in their circumstance. Reminds me a little bit of the halacha in Hilchos Chatzitza, right? The halacha is that if a person, let's say, has paint on their fingers, so that's going to be a chatzitza. You got to clean it off before you go to the mikvah. But what if you're a painter? So painters all the time have paint on their fingers. So the halacha then is that it's not a chatzitza. Why is it not a chatzitza? Because it's normal for painters not to be makbid about. So normally, what determines makbid? Makbid is even if I'm personally not makbid because I'm disgusting and I don't mind having all these grime and gross things all over my body. But if the rest of the world is makbid, that's called makbid. Even though I'm not makbid when it comes to chatzitza. Yet when it comes to a painter, the paint, even though the rest of the world is makbid, my paint is considered eino makbid. Why? Because anyone in my position would also not be makbid. Meaning the definition of makbid is based on what would other people do if they were me, if they were in my position. So if anyone else was a painter, they would also not be makbid. So a similar idea over here that says the Ritva. The people in Aravya think that kotzim are valuable to maintain in the kerem because they have a use for them, and anyone in the position of the people in Aravya would also view kotzim to be something that's valuable. But that's not the same as juicing pomegranates, which is just done by one family. By such a thing, we would say batl daito etzel das kaladam. So the Gemara brings another explanation for the pesak of Rav Nachman that you're not allowed to squeeze rimonim. Elahainu taima. It's not based on this one family that you're allowed to squeeze that you're not allowed to squeeze rimonim, that you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates. Not because this one family had this practice of juicing pomegranates. No, it's because Rav Chista. It's in according to Rav Chista, Damar Rav Chista, Tradin Shasachtan V'Nasam B'Mikvah. If you have beets that you squeezed out and you put the beet juice into a mikvah, pulsiness a mikvah bishinei mara. It will pass the mikvah when it changes the color, when you put in enough that it changes the color of the water of the mikvah. That halacha, that mikvah's pasul bishinei mara, is when you put other mashkim into a mikvah. When you put mayim shuvin into a mikvah, so it's obviously not going to be shinei mara, because mayim shuvin looks the same as regular mayim, but that's going to pass the mikvah bishlosh shalugin, is mayim shuvin. But when you put in other liquids that have different colors, so it'll be pasul mikvah bishinei mara. So it says, but wait a second, beets are not b'nei schita, and therefore the juice that comes out of them should not be a mashke, and the din that other liquids pasul mikvah bishinei mara is only when they're a mashke. So it's not a mashke, why should it pasul mikvah? So what are you going to say? Kivan dach shavinu havalu mashke. Since you decided to squeeze beets and get juice out of them, that makes it a mashke, because you're showing that the juice that comes out of it for you is considered a mashke. So that gives it the status of a mashke, and that will pass the mikvah. So achanami, by squeezing out the peros that we were talking about as well, it should be usher on Shabbos to squeeze out any fruit for the juice. But even if it's a fruit that's omid la'achila, not omid l'schita. Why? Because kivendach shavinu, havalei mashke. Since you squeezed it out, l'shem mashke, it therefore becomes a mashke. And you're chayiv on doing such a schita. It's a violation of dash. So based on that, you could explain the brisa that allows squeezing the pagayin and all those strange fruits, because they're peros that are omid only for achila. So that's only when you squeeze them. That brisa that said that you're allowed to squeeze them is when you squeeze them not because you want the juice. You're squeezing them just to sweeten up the fruit a little bit. The fruit is too tart, so you need to squeeze a little of the juice out in order to sweeten the fruit. But maybe in a chinami, when it came to that brisa, even if you squeeze a cantaloupe and you squeeze a watermelon because you want cantaloupe juice, because you want watermelon juice, in a chinami it's going to be aser. But rimonim are aser to be sochet, even if you just want to sweeten up the fruit. And the reason is because some people, like the menashia, would squeeze rimonim all the time. So there's a chashash that if we allow you to squeeze rimonim, even just to be mematik the pri, even just to sweeten up the fruit, you might make a mistake and be sochid it l'shem mashke as well. And when you're sochid l'shem mashke, that's machshiv the juice that comes out of it, and therefore would have a din of mashke, and you'd be chayiv on the schita mishum dash. So that's sort of nachum paskin, like the base menashia. So that's the second explanation of why it is that we paskin like the base menashia. But when it comes to the pagoyin and all these other peros that we mentioned at the beginning of the brisa, there's no chashash that if we allow you to squeeze it to in order to sweeten the fruit when you're not interested in the mashke, that you might come to also squeeze it for the juices itself, because no one on earth ever squeezed those things for the juices themselves. But the pomegranates, as long as we're able to show that somebody squeezes them for the juices, we're concerned that if we allow you to squeeze it just to be mematik es apri, that you might squeeze it for the juice. And it doesn't have to be normal. It just has to be that's what you want. As long as you squeeze a fruit and you want the juices, that's enough to be machshav in a mashke, just like we have by the beet juice and the mikvah. That beet juice is generally not a mashke, but if you squeeze the beet, it means that you wanted beet juice, and that gave it the status of a mashke. So that's the second explanation of why Rav Nachman would paskin like the base menashia. So says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Papa Amar, so now we explained that Meitradin, pasul mikvah, beet juice pasuls and mikvahs. Rav Papa Amar, that beet juice does not have a din of a mashke, and even when you squeeze them for the sake of the juice, and you're machshav them to the mashke, he's going to say that it will not have a status of mashke, against what we just said. Why do they pasul the mikvah? Not because they're a juice, mishum David davashay nosin menu mikvah lechachila, because there's something that you're not allowed to make a mikvah out of. You can't have a mikvah of beet juice. V'kal davashay nosin menu mikvah lechachila, pasuls a mikvah, b'shinu mara, and anything, a liquid, solid, whatever, you can't make a mikveh out of, is going to pass the mikveh, b'shinrei mara. So now the Gemara points out that Rava uses this klal in order to explain the Mishnah, Maseches Mikvaos. Tanan Asim, there's a Mishnah, the seventh parak of Mikvaos. Nafal etocho yayin ocho matzo mochel, that if what falls into a mikveh is wine or vinegar or the juices that seep out of an olive, v'shinah, mara, then it changes the look of the mikveh, pasul. What do you mean it's possible as a mikvah? The juice that seeps out of an olive, not the oil, that which comes out before the oil. Who says that that's a mashka? Why would that possible a mikvah? Some Rabbi Yaakov, it's going like Rabbi Yaakov, the Tanya, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, mochel areu kemashka. Umatamar mochel yotze b'tchila tahar. You know, mochel really is a mashka. Why then is it tahar? Is it not machshel kabel tuma? Lufishen rotze b'kiyumo. Because generally you're not interested in it, and so it's something only has the full status of a mashka as far as machshel kabel tuma when you wanted it to leave the pri. But Rabbi Shimon Omer mochel eino kemashka. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and he says mochel is not a mashka. Umatam amru mochel. Why is it that we say that the mochel that comes out from the olive press is going to be tameh? It's only because it always has some oil mixed into it. So what's the nafkamina between these two explanations? According to everybody, mochel that comes out initially is tahar, and that which comes out basof is going to be tameh. So da'asi basar itzasa. The machlokas is the mochel that flows out from the zesim after it's been there for a long time and it's gotten warm and soft in the kli. So according to Rabbi Yaakov, that mochel is tamei because you are rotza b'kiyumo. It helps soften the olives to make it for easier pressing. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, that mochel is going to be tahar because the zesim haven't been squeezed at all, and therefore there's no oil mixed in with that mochel. But all of that is an answer to the mantana, right? Meaning we tried to say that mochel ruins a mikvah when it changes the color of the mikvah. So we said, what? Mochel's not a mashka. Why would it ruin a mikvah? So we gave this suggestion that Rabbi Yaakov holds it is a mashka. But Rava Amar, and this is the reason we're quoting this, Mishum David Davar Sheinelson, Heimenu mikvah, uposla sa mikvah, b'shinu imara. No, it doesn't have to be a mashka. All it has to be is something that you can't make a mikvah out of. And you can't make a mikveh out of olive juice. So, not olive oil, olive juice, the mochel. So since you can't make a mikveh out of olive juice doesn't have to be a mashka. It will pass on the mikveh anyway. So that just highlights this chiddush of Rav Papa, that you know why beet juice will pass on the mikveh? Not because beet juice is a mashka. Beet juice passes a mikvah because it's something that you're not allowed to make a mikvah out of. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss the major heter in all of Hilchos Shechita. Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, socher adam eshkol shel anavim letocha kedera. You're allowed to actually squeeze grapes into a kedera, into a pot that has food in it, because to add flavor to the pot. Because it's muchach when you squeeze it into a food that you're not using it as a liquid. You're not using it as a drink. You're using it as an ingredient in the food to sweeten up the food. But you're not allowed to squeeze it into a ka'ara, because sometimes you're soaking into a ka'ara that doesn't have any food in it, and that's also to do because it makes it look like you're squeezing it out for the liquid, for the drink, and not just for the tafshil, not for a food. So even though people generally don't drink out of a ka'ara, and someone who sees you squeeze into an empty ka'ara might understand that you would then plan on putting it into a tafshil, but it's not so obvious that it's for tikkun ochlim. It might be that you're using it for the juice itself. So Amar Rav Chisa, Midivrei Rabbeinu Nilmad, what we see from Shmuel's comment, we can learn from there that cholev adam eiz l'tocha kedera, that you could actually milk a goat as long as the milk goes directly into a food, and therefore the milk is going to be considered an ochel right off the bat. The milk is going to be considered an ochel right away. There is a machlokas rishonim whether Rav Chisa's din that you're allowed to squeeze milk from a goat into a pot of food is a dafka on Yontif or even on Shabbos. Rashi's not mechalik. He holds that it seems to hold that it's both Shabbos and Yom Tov, because just like the din of Shmuel by Shechitas Anavim L'Kedera, that we assume that that's mutter on Shabbos as well. Tosfos writes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that no, Rav Chisda's heter to milk a goat is L'Toch HaKedera is only on Yontif, and that's because on Yom Tov the goat itself is Roi L'Achila. So the milk that comes out of it into the kedera is ochel that's coming out of ochel. But on Shabbos, there's no way that goat is ever going to be able to be eaten on Shabbos. So you can't call it an ochel, and therefore it's going to be asur on Shabbos. That's Rabbeinu Tam's shita. But anyway, so we see alma kasavar mashka abali ochel ochelu, that liquid that goes into a food is considered a food. So masav Rami Bar Chama challenges from Mishnah Maseches Taros zav shecholev ha'eiz hachalav tamei, that if a zav milk milks a goat, the milk that comes out is tame because the zav has moved it, and we're not mechalek between where the milk was going to, whether it was going into a food or whether it was going just into a cup. So v'yam mashka b'leochel ochelhu b'mayis kasher. Well, wait a second. If any mashka that goes out into an ochel has a din of an ochel, how did that milk ever become huchshel kabel tuma? It was an ochel the whole time. So k'dam Rabbi Yochanan b'tipa hamluchlechas al piyadad hachnam b'tipa hamluchlechas al piyadad. No, you know how it became huchshel kabel tuma? That initial tipa, that initial drop, that wets the udder and therefore allows more milk to come out. That's a mashke, and that will therefore be makshir all the subsequent milk to be mekabel tuma. And therefore, if a zav is the one that's doing the squeezing, that's hesed hazav, and all of the milk is going to become tame. So masav ravina tame meis shasach zaysim va'anavim kabeitu mechuvenes tar. That if a tame meis squeezes out zaysim va'anavim that are exactly a kabeitu worth of zaysim va'anavim, it's going to be tahar. Meaning, because we assume that as soon as you squeeze something out, now it's pachas mekabeitu of ochlin, and pachas mekabeitu of ochlin doesn't have the capacity to be metame. The second the first drop comes out, now it makes it pachos mikabetza. But the implication is hayoser mikabetza tame, that if it's more than a kabetza of zeisim v'anavim, that a tame mace is squeezing out of the zeisim v'anavim, then it would be tame. So, and the chora, that applies even if he's squeezing it directly into a food, when it has a din of food. V'yam mashka bal yochel ochelu, but if you hold that any mashka that goes into a food has a din of a food, v'mayis kasher, how did it ever become ochshel kabel tuma? There was never any liquid, there was never any drink. So who most of love umafarikla besochet v'toch hakara. So he asked the kasha, but he answered as well that it's dafka talking about where you're being sochet v'toch hakara. Ein achinami, if you were sochet v'toch ochel, it would not become tame because the whole thing would have a din of an ochel. Okay, but Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah on the top of the page. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.